Welcome to the Commentary Magazine podcast. Today is Monday, May 21st, 2018. I am John Podhoretz, the editor of Commentary, the 70-some-odd-year-old monthly of intellectual analysis, political probity, and cultural criticism from a conservative perspective. We invite you to join us at CommentaryMagazine.com, where we give you a few free reads, and then ask you to subscribe, $19.95 for a digital subscription, $29.95 for an all-access subscription, including our beautiful monthly magazine, in your mailbox 11 times a year. With me, as always, Abe Greenwald, our senior editor. Hi, Abe.
Hi, John.
And Noah Rothman, our associate editor. Hi, Noah.
Hi, John.
Sourabh Amari is out today. So I thought we would take some time today to try to unpack the big story of the weekend, which is Donald Trump demanding unofficially and then saying that he was going to demand officially that the Justice Department launch an investigation into the Justice Department, specifically on whether or not any untoward or illegal efforts were made to penetrate or the Trump campaign in 2016 by Justice Department desirous of preventing Donald Trump from becoming president. Is that an accurate description, Noah?
Yeah, I think so, from the perspective of the contingent of individuals who say that Donald Trump has been getting the raw end of the stick in various degrees. Yeah, I think that's fair.
So with a bunch of stories last week detailing the inauguration of the so-called Crossfire Hurricane investigation, the Crossfire Hurricane investigation being, as we said on the last show, the opening of an inquiry by the FBI into whether minor Trump campaign associate, not even an employee of the campaign, George Papadopoulos, had somehow crossed the line into untoward territory because he was overheard by the Australian ambassador in London saying that the Russians had Hillary Clinton's emails. And so here's the story as I, and Noah can help me. Noah, who is, Abe is here for the analysis. Noah is deep in the weeds as I am or trying to be. So here is, so that was the Papadopoulos story, was that on July 31st, this inquiry started. The secondary detail was that according to various people who are representing the Trump side of the case, shall we say, there was evidence that the Justice Department had an informant inside the Trump campaign during 2016. The fact that this informant existed inside the Trump campaign was prima facie evidence of illicit, illegal, shocking FBI conduct attempting to penetrate and control or whatever, to, you know, get drop a dirty dime on the Trump campaign. Over the last 3 days, it has now become clear, I believe, that what the person that is being referred to is an American academic working in London named Stephen Halper, working in England at Cambridge. And that Halper, who apparently has done some work with the intelligence community for decades, was impressed into service by asking him to go and have conversations with, it appears, Seriatim, Carter Page, George Papadopoulos, and somebody else. I can't remember who the third one is.
Sam now, Clovis.
Sam right. Clovis, who was the head of the team that invented this foreign policy panel on which Papadopoulos and Page were placed at some point in, I think, March or April of 2016 to prove that there was somebody in the foreign policy community who would support Trump. I mean, that was really the purpose of it. So Papadopoulos and Page, both of them on this foreign policy document, never actually worked for Trump. They weren't paid by Trump. Though it appears that Papadopoulos, they both in different ways asked permission to go to Russia to conduct business on behalf of Trump. Okay. So let's go back to Halper. So Halper, so problem number one with the FBI infiltrated the Trump campaign is that Halper, from what we can tell, was not an employee of, an official of, or worked for the Trump campaign. he was a guy who went and had conversations with people on the Trump campaign. Is that right, Noah?
Wait, say that again.
Stephen Halper,
yeah,
the academic impressed into service by somebody to find out stuff about the Trump campaign, the FBI informant, quote unquote, about whom there have been arguments for weeks about exposing his identity and whether or not it should or should not be exposed. The claim has been that the FBI's informant infiltrated the Trump campaign and reported from inside the Trump campaign.
Yeah,
Stephen Halper, from what we can tell, was not an employee of, an official of, or anyone particularly involved with the Trump campaign. He was somebody who went around sort of like encouraging conversation between himself and some Trump campaign officials, or yeah, former Trump campaign officials in the case of a couple of these guys. So I don't understand, unless there's another FBI informant we don't know about, this does not seem to pass the level of the FBI got someone inside the Trump campaign to report on what was going on inside the Trump campaign.
No, people are calling him a spy, and some really reputable journalistic individuals with clearly some skin in this game have determined that he's going to be a spy. Which is just sort of reckless language to use. He's not a spy. He's a human source. And this is not something that's uncommon for an investigation that's ongoing to use. Now, the question is it proper to have used the CI in the context of this investigation? And that's where you have to get into
timelines. I disagree. I want to go back. The thing that alarms people properly is the notion that the FBI may have recruited someone inside the Trump campaign to be a spy on the Trump campaign for the FBI.
Well, if it was this guy, that doesn't fit that criteria.
Right, but as far as we know, when we were told for weeks that Devin Nunes wanted the unmasking, yeah, of this guy's identity, and we were told we couldn't, it would compromise sources and methods, everything, and the people who are supporting Devin Nunes, the chair of the House Intelligence Committee, on this are saying, well, this guy, they're just trying to protect the informant they had inside the campaign. Halper was not inside the campaign. By the way, I hold no brief for Stephen Halper. He wrote, he's a third-rate academic hanger-on who wrote a really lousy book about the neoconservatives in early 2003s, like a Scowcroftian Republican type who claimed that, you know, people like us lied the administration into war. So I'm not going to sit here, you know, it's weird that he's the guy. I don't know what the hell is going on there. It doesn't even matter. He looks like the uncle in Withnail and I. If you look at a picture of him, by the way, if you get that reference, and if you don't, that's fine. If you do, I think you will be very amused by it. Just some big fat old guy in Cambridge wandering around conferences trying to have conversations with people like Carter Page.
And it's interesting that you noted that we sort of transitioned pretty seamlessly from there was a spy inserted into the Trump campaign to this guy as an informant who may have been doing things that were inappropriate considering the stage at which the investigation was at any particular time. And that's, and by the way, this guy's name was outed well before any of these reports in reputable outlets like the New York Times and the Washington Post began very delicately dancing around his identity so that anybody could really do some digging and find out who he was himself. But that name had been out there for quite some time. And individuals like the Daily Caller's Chuck Ross have said, I have a source in the DOJ that told me this name.
Right.
Beginning, middle, end of the story. That's it.
So if that's the guy, I'm just saying that the pro-Trump argument that the Trump campaign was infiltrated, penetrated, and being spied upon from the inside is not supported by Stephen Halper's identity or what we know that Stephen Halper did. He didn't work for the Trump campaign. He wasn't employed by the Trump campaign. He may have been activated in some sense to go talk to people on the Trump campaign where he could, but that does not make him an informant inside the operation.
Okay, so
if we've all read spy literature, we know the... So, Abe, you have...
Well, I mean, obviously, yeah, I agree with you. I guess my next question is, okay, given that he was not an informant inside the campaign, if one is still on what we're calling the pro-Trump side of this argument, is there still reason to object to his sniffing around the campaign at someone in the American government's behest, perhaps without sufficient reason.
I think it's worthwhile then to go through the timelines from what we understand so far, the big dates with regard to George Papadopoulos and Carter Page, because these two things can kind of be conflated. They're two completely distinct pillars of this investigation. They don't really overlap until later on in 2016. So the earliest date that we have, at which point something begins to look really fishy, is April 26th of 2016, when George Papadopoulos takes a meeting with Joseph Misfit, who is this professor abroad, who's now in hiding, who is, everybody pretty much agrees, is a conduit for information from the Kremlin. At that meeting, allegedly, Papadopoulos was informed that an operation had taken place involving Russian military intelligence that had infiltrated DNC sources, Hillary Clinton sources. They had a bunch of emails, and they were going to come out eventually. George Papadopoulos goes off and brags about this to an Australian government official who does what the Australian government official should do, which is inform the FBI on May 11th. At some point, John says July 31st. I'm not aware of the date. July 31st sounds good to me. Devin Nunes said in his memo that late July, an investigation was opened into George Papadopoulos. And that's not the FISA probe.
That is Crossfire Hurricane. That is what we were told last week was named Crossfire Hurricane. So that's okay.
Papadopoulos does not meet with Stephen Halper, until September.
Right.
September of that year. That's the Papadopoulos timeline. Okay. Totally distinct from Carter Page's timeline.
Now we go to Carter Page. Papadopoulos at some point in this goes to Moscow, by the way, which is the other part.
Right.
He goes to Moscow and meets with people. We
with
don't know.
Sam Clovis's imprimatur.
Right. Okay. Sam Clovis being an actual paid official of the Trump campaign. Now we have the Carter Page timeline. Carter Page, yet another person on this weird foreign policy council. So Carter Page goes to Moscow and meets a couple people there. We're not quite sure who. Supposedly the deputy foreign minister. This is in July, first week of July.
July 7th through 9th.
Okay, so he meets Dvorkin, Dvorovich, something like that, the Soviet deputy foreign minister. And he meets with officials from Rosneft, a Russian conglomerate. He either meets with a senior official, or he meets with the senior official and the president of Rosneft. We don't know which or what. Rosneft being close to Putin. Carter Page then, 2 days later, goes to some conference in London on foreign policy. So this would be July 11th or 12th. Okay? July 11th or 12th of 2016, Carter Page encounters at this conference Stephen Halper. And they have conversations on the side. We don't know what those conversations had to do with. They hadn't met before. And Page seems very hurt now to think that the conversations, the friendship that he seemed to have struck up with Stephen Halper at this conference in London in 2016 might have been for the purposes of getting information from him, from Halper. Now, okay.
Although we don't know what was asked and if they had anything to do with that meeting with where Page was asked by Halper about Hillary Clinton's emails. Halper specifically asked George Papadopoulos about Hillary Clinton's
in
email
September.
In September.
Okay, now, freeze. July 11, 2016. This, to me, is the crux. There are two things that are at the crux of whether or not Trump is right to call for an investigation. Now, there's the argument that he's wrong to call for an investigation because he is misusing the Justice Department to punish his enemies or something like that. So I'm going to put that to one side because I'm so confused about how everybody is doing everything illegitimately. We should put that to one side. We know that the FBI launched an investigation into Papadopoulos and the misuse of whatever at the end of July, called Crossfire Hurricane. July 11-12, this intelligence asset of the United States intelligence community, Stephen Halper, is having conversations with Carter Page at a London conference. if those conversations were intelligence gathering, would mean that Halper had been activated for this purpose by someone in America. A, who was that? B, was that because something happened in Russia that they collect information they collected on through signals intelligence or something, that Page was up to something, and thus they decided to have an informal contact with Page, not anything serious, to see what they could find out? Or C, and this is where we get to the, I think, the theory of the case that you're not hearing from the pro-Trump forces, but is what they actually believe, which is the following. At some point in June, Obama people get together and they say, Trump's probably not going to win, but we don't know that for sure. And there's this investigation of Hillary going on at the FBI, and we don't know what's going to happen there. So, and Trump's got all these unsavory connections with the Russians, which he does. Paul Manafort, his campaign manager, is effectively a paid agent of the Russians. Roger Stone, his longtime political consigliere, supposedly no longer on the campaign, but is basically a Russian agent. We better start looking into this. This is, I believe, what the this is the theory of the case of the pro-Trump people. I'm not endorsing it. We better look into this and find out what's going on here, because A, Trump, the whole Trump thing might be a Soviet, a Russian plot, and B, Hillary's getting investigated by us and what's going on. So we need to level the playing field and investigate Trump too. That, I believe, you are not hearing people say this, but you will in a couple of days, that why was all this happening in July? What was going on? Why was it happening? And the idea is going to be, they're going to say, this entire investigative process started because political people said we need to use the investigative levers of the American government to find out what's going on with Trump and maybe to level the playing field with Hillary. That, I believe, is what our friends at The Federalist and various other people think, though they're not really, and Devin Nunes and others think, but they're not really saying. And this weekend's detail.
Some of them are, I mean, the sharp ones are being coy about what they're actually alleging. Mm-hmm. Then there are people who have probably the same ears on Capitol Hill and at the DOJ who are far less reputable and are willing to allege very forthrightly the conspiracy that you've outlined right there.
Okay. They have been handed a piece of data that is helpful to their case, which is who set Stephen Halper onto Carter Page on July 11th. We know how the Papadopoulos thing happened. The Australian ambassador happened to overhear something. The Australian ambassador contacted, through proper diplomatic channels, Americans. Americans interviewed him, and then based on that interview said, we got to look into this guy Papadopoulos, and they started Crossfire Hurricane. So, what we don't know is 2.5 weeks earlier, there was a contact between an intelligence, American intelligence source, and Carter Page in London, and who set that up? And remember the whole thing here, and then I'll stop. Remember the whole thing here is that it is illegitimate for the United States government to spy on American citizens. You are not allowed to spy on American citizens without, you know, as we know from the whole FISA warrant kerfuffle of months ago, without very serious evidence that said citizen needs to be spied on.
So that gets to a point I wanted to raise. So is it then not true that whether or not the motivation for activating Halper to make inquiries or introduce himself to Carter Page, whether or not that the motive was overtly political, that is to say, whether or not it was the result of saying Hillary's being investigated, we don't know how that's going to turn out, we don't know whether or not Donald Trump is really going to lose, so let's sort of see what we can do here to level the playing field and find out what we can about things that look unsavory in the Trump campaign. Even if that weren't the case, even if people in the intelligence community or the FBI, if they said, I have suspicions about these people connected to the Trump campaign and their ties to Russia, and they concern me as a matter of national security. But then those same officials didn't use they went outside of the sort of official power structure, and they informally, let's say, over a casual conversation, said, "How about, without putting anything on the record, why don't you go see if Stefan Halpert can go find anything out?" Isn't that also bad anyway? Because that is sort of launching an investigation without really doing so, regardless of the political motivations.
Yeah, I would say that was bad, and unless something else is going on that we don't know about yet, unless there was yet another investigation already ongoing about which we have not been informed, maybe an investigation into Carter Page that preceded the FISA warrant that was secured in October.
Well, there
of
was
2016.
A FISA warrant on Carter Page established in 2013.
There had been one.
Correct.
One assumes that it was no
that
longer
was breaking up another Russia spy ring.
Right.
Which Carter Page somehow found right. himself.
So let's get FISA warrant against Carter Page in 2013. Then a new FISA warrant is secured in 2016. One presumes that the old FISA warrant had expired. Otherwise, they wouldn't have sought to get the new FISA warrant. You remember there was this whole thing about how the new FISA warrant was illegitimate because of the claim that the source that was used for the FISA warrant was the Steele dossier, which was full of unconfirmed rumors about the connections between the Trump campaign and
this
Russia.
This is what I think is the most important point, and we need to say it clearly and repeatedly, that there are two different situations here. George Papadopoulos and Carter Page are very distinct. Carter Page's contacts with Russian officials in July, Andrei Baranov and Dvorkovich, this deputy prime minister, that would raise alarm bells, but there is nothing inappropriate for a campaign of a presidential level to be reaching out informally to foreign officials like this. That is why people who are very reputable Republicans like Charles Grassley and Lindsey Graham and Tom Tillis and others have said something really weird happened with this FISA warrant, and we need to get to the bottom of it.
Right.
George
also,
Papadopoulos, yes. however, triggered an investigation into his behavior in April of 2016 because of his exchanges with Joseph Misford and a gentleman named Ivan Timofeev, who he had emails with, who he Skyped with, and who was an intermediary for the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs
but
and Russian
intelligence.
If we
are to believe what we have read so far, the FBI and the whoever in the American government did not get involved in anything regarding George Papadopoulos until the Australian ambassador contacted, told his prime minister that this had happened, and the prime minister used whatever back channel we have to contact the CIA, and the CIA asked to interview the Australian ambassador, and it took 6 weeks for that to be cleared because it is apparently an enormous breach of protocol for any such thing to happen. Now, so what's
but if you're looking for signals intelligence, that's where the mountains of signals intelligence would come from, all these electronic communications.
Right. Now, again, just because they don't like Papadopoulos, or you know, they're concerned about Papadopoulos, or they're concerned about Page, doesn't mean they have the right to start poking around there. Page is a U.S. citizen. Can he meet with the head of Rosneft? Yes. Can he meet with the deputy foreign minister of Russia? Yes. He was a person on a panel of names attached to the Trump campaign. He was not an official of the Trump campaign in that sense. He wasn't a paid employee of the Trump campaign, which we also get back to the whole question of who was paid by whom to be the informant, and Halpert does not count in my mind as an FBI informant inside the Trump campaign if he had three conversations over 3 months with three different people. Now, let's pause so that I can talk to you guys about the Memorial Day sale at Casper Mattress. Because Casper Mattress, as you know, Memorial Day coming up, very exciting, great holiday, long weekend, and our podcast listeners are being invited to take advantage of Casper's competitive limited-time Memorial Day sale offer. Casper sells directly to you, eliminating added costs and saving you money. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial, and returns are hassle-free if you're not completely satisfied. Casper has three mattress lines to choose from. The original Casper, the innovative Wave, the streamlined Essential. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface that has just the right sink and just the right bounce. The Wave features a patent-pending premium support system to mirror the natural shape of your body. The Essential has a streamlined design at a price that won't keep you up at night. The breathable design of each mattress helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. My kids, each is sleeping on a Casper mattress. It's great. Our friend Sarah Bamari, not here, has been raving about the Wave, which is, he says, is making his sleeping life glorious. So for a limited time, visit Casper.com/savings and receive 10% off your order with any mattress purchase. This special offer expires May 29th, 2018. Terms and conditions apply. That's Casper.com/savings to receive 10% off when you order before May 29th. And we thank Casper for sponsoring the Commentary Magazine podcast. So in the larger sense, then we get to the question of whether or not now. So I said this is the Trumpian scenario is Obama people get together and say we gotta do what we can to find out what's going on in case we need to spike this guy, right? So of course Trump wins. So any conspiracy against the Trump campaign was clearly ineffectual if the purpose of it was to prevent Trump from winning, since either they made a huge mistake and they thought Hillary was gonna win and they didn't release all the horrible evidence they had, or you know, they didn't come up with anything. So, or third, you know, they mishandled it, whatever. Okay, so the anti-Trump scenario, I think, works as follows. Number one, all of this is a fantasy. Nothing was going on. You're just trying to invent a counter narrative to the Mueller investigation to make it look like the Mueller investigation was illegitimate from the get-go, and every effort to investigate Trump's behavior toward Russia is illegitimate from the get-go. And if there were investigations, they were totally legitimate because Russia was attempting to interfere with the election, as we know from everybody's testimony. Everyone now claims, every reputable body says that Russia wanted to tilt the scales in favor of Trump and was using Guccifer and whatever to do that. And B, there are all these Trump people with all these unsavory connections to Russia. They should have been investigating it. They should have been looking into it. And so you're just all full of it because you're acting somehow like he's being persecuted when in fact he hired all, he himself, Michael Cohen in 2016, was still trying to build a Trump Tower in Moscow. You can't tell me that Trump didn't know. They were having meetings in Trump Tower with the Russian lawyer Veselnitskaya, where they were clearly desirous of getting information that could be used against Hillary Clinton. And so they should be investigated. So that was good. It's good if they're investigated, but you're all crazy to say they were being investigated. How dare you say they were being investigated? What's the matter with you? You're all conspiracy theory nuts. Do I have that right? Am I being, this is, I say,
I,
this
I don't
is
know. I think that was a little unfavorable towards their position to say that nobody, they don't say that Trump was being investigated. They do say he was being investigated, and as you say, they're supportive of it, but I don't think they deny the semantics of the investigation.
No, but they say that the conservative line, which is that the FBI was investigating American citizens and using the FISA warrant illegitimately and using unmasking, this is after the election, using procedures to unmask to reveal that Michael Flynn was having phone conversations, the incoming national security advisor, with the Russian ambassador Kislyak, that anyone who has concerns about that is just peddling a conspiracy theory, and that any objections to the possibility that they were being investigated are illegitimate because they're just disingenuous and wrong.
I think that's fair, and I will also add that they would say that the ends justify the means. Like there was an unmasking effort that exposed Jeff Sessions had communications during the conventions with Ambassador Kislyak, the late Ambassador Kislyak. He said he didn't have any, and as a result, he had to because he had testified to the contrary in front of Congress, and so he had to recuse himself from Russian investigations. That was, you know, it justified the exposure of his name, albeit obliquely, to the press by unmasking, as it were, raw intelligence products.
Well, the ends justify the means is a terrible argument. It's always a terrible argument, and it's a terrible argument when it comes down to the question of whether or not the Constitution has been violated or someone's constitutional rights have been violated. The ends in the United States do not justify the means. So if that is the implicit argument, it's a bad argument and it discredits itself. And the idea that maybe an investigation into what did happen is smart, in part, by the way, maybe to quiet the false conspiracy theories. That the assumption now is it would be terrible if any such investigation were undertaken, which, by the way, we are told that it is now being undertaken by the Inspector General of the Department of Justice, that Rod Rosenstein last night, the number two at the Justice Department and the person running the Russia probe since Sessions recused himself, assigned the IG the task of looking into this question. But if you're going to say, if you want people to be, there are tens of millions of people in this country who now probably believe that the Mueller probe is dirty and that it's all dirty because of this. And maybe one of the things that you do to clarify it is to run an investigation that will clear the Justice Department if you really think the Justice Department is innocent.
And I don't think that will happen. In the sense that I think once there is an investigation into the FBI, into the DOJ about this, whatever the actual outcome, it will kick up and dig up enough dirt, enough stories about sort of quasi-misconduct and cut corners to cast further doubt on the probe.
I'll go a step further. I don't think it'll ever get to a conclusion because I don't think the IG investigation is the be-all, end-all here. Remember in March, Donald Trump, egged on by his supporters, put out these another series of tweets. He literally said this time, "I hereby declare," I believe. It was very regal. I hereby determine that... they turned the FISA investigation over to the IG's office in March. And then last night, Rosenstein said, well, we're going to put the spy issue back over to the IG and fold it into the FISA investigation that the IG is already conducting oversight of the DOJ for. There's people who are frustrated with the fact that the IG can't really perform its job, and I sympathize with them because they're correct. In 2014, the Inspector General, his name's Horowitz, testified before Congress that the agencies he's got oversight over don't give him information he requests. They're withholding information from him, and he can't do his job, specifically the FBI. Devin Nunes is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. He is owed the information he has subpoenaed. There's really no argument there. He needs to get this information. He subpoenaed it. He has oversight power, and the DOJ is saying, we can't give it to you because we don't trust what you're going to do with this information. But so what? That really has nothing to do with his oversight role. So the FBI is being... recalcitrant, has a history of being not exactly forthcoming with oversight bodies. And I think the intention here is to trigger enough logic, enough smoke to justify either Rod Rosenstein leaving his post or removing him from his office in order to dissolve the special counsel probe. That's what will make everybody on the pro-Trump side happy. I don't think they ever want to see a report.
No, I'm saying that if you were like a Boy Scout and you thought that Boy Scout values could prevail, you would say, well, all these probes should be allowed to continue because Mueller will find out what's going on and clear Trump, and then maybe the FBI's efforts to look into Page and Papadopoulos and with Stephen Halper will appear to be innocent or at least like something. So in other words, if you say, look, something's going on, we're not going to launch a full-scale probe. And I wouldn't exactly say that saying to a guy, go have a conversation with somebody and see what you can find out is a very high-level way of gaining intelligence on what's going on. I don't care how wonderfully seductive Stephen Halper, author of this idiot book on neoconservatism, might be. I can't imagine he has hypnotic powers that would cause Carter Page at, you know, one meeting at a sideline, you know, to reveal everything he knows about his Russian masters. I'm sorry to keep saying Soviet.
Also, to reiterate, so it's a very low
level. It would strike me as a very low level effort, except that there was all this like hysterical effort to protect his identity on the part of the administration.
Right.
Because, you know, really people are going to go shoot a Cambridge professor who writes bad books about neoconservatism.
It's about scaring off other informants and other witnesses.
I suppose. Although, you know, it is true that if you start saying I'm not going to let you know who anybody is. I mean, look, the decision by the intelligence community to treat the elected head of the House Intelligence Committee as though he were, you know, a hostile element that they are supposed to avoid is a very problematic thing. I don't think Nunes is innocent here, because I think he did things and behaved in ways in the first couple of months of the investigation that were really untoward and inappropriate. But that doesn't mean, as you say, that oversight is not practiced. By the way, where I will differ from you, Noah, is he doesn't have an absolute right to look at every piece of material in the executive branch that he performs oversight over. That's not the way it works. These are co-equal branches of government. The executive branch does not work for the House The intelligence community does not work for the House Intelligence Committee. It is tasked with the job of oversight, but oversight is not totalistic. He doesn't have the right to...
Oh, yeah, and okay. According to the Washington Post, on May 6th, the week prior, Devin Nunes subpoenaed these documents. The DOJ intervened, Jeff Sessions included, approached Donald Trump and said, this source is going to be jeopardized if we provide this information to the CIV, that is the House Intelligence Committee, so we're not going to do it. And Donald Trump agreed. He changed his mind when he discovered that this source, helper, was involved in the Mueller probe, had been giving information to the Mueller probe regarding the campaign. That's what turned him. That's when it got political. And that's when all of a sudden Devin Nunes' oversight was so important that he got a shout out today at Gina Haspel's confirmation hearing for being the only person in Congress.
Her swearing in.
Sorry. For being the only person who's interested in this constitutionally grave matter of the spying on the Trump campaign by the intelligence community.
So the question is, you just put that phrase, and we can end on this, I would say. So the constitutionally grave matter of spying on the Trump campaign. So you said it in a slightly, you know, ironical manner, tone, I would say. Question is, taking the irony out, is this a constitutionally grave matter? I would say it's not a constitutionally grave matter. That is not the right way to look at this. It is a politically highly problematic matter. In other words, like, I think it's fair to say that cops shouldn't be looking into political campaigns absent, you know, very obvious evidence that they're crooked schemes.
So it's also an ethically grave matter, potentially.
Right. That said, as Noah said, my having gone rogue in this fashion and having sort of, you know, giving some credence to the, you know, to the sort of the line of the Trump is being screwed here. In the end, it matters quite a great deal that you had a, you know, rogue presidential campaign that ended up winning the nomination that was being run by people who were clearly very eager, if they could get their hands on it, to get pilfered, evidence from a relatively hostile foreign power, if they could do it. And that really is where, I mean, I don't think there's now any question that the meeting at Trump Tower in June 2016, the purpose, their disappointment was that no one, a Russian asset Putin agent, didn't come to them with 30,000 emails that they could use against Hillary, which is what they thought was going to happen, everybody shy of Trump was in the room.
And why were they aware of that? Because Joseph Misfit, in April of 2016, told George Papadopoulos, the Russians have dirt on Hillary Clinton, and if you want it, you're going to have to pull on this thread. And that's what started the investigation into the Trump campaign. Not a FISA investigation, a criminal investigation. And in order to build PC in a criminal investigation, you have to build signals intelligence. And yes, you have to use human sources. You got to present a judge with something. So this is basically I sort of side with John when it comes to the theory. The theory of this thing is really a grave abuse of power and something that we should all be concerned with. And then when the facts come out, when we find out that the advocates for that line have really oversold and underdelivered, and that the evidence is a lot more ambiguous than we thought it would be. And I think this is going to follow the same trajectory that Devin Nunes' memo followed, that it was really serious in the abstract. And then when it came out, it was a lot more ambiguous.
And I think you can say the same for the Mueller probe. That's where it gets interesting and complicated. Advocates for the Mueller probe and, you know, who are like defending Mueller, you know, 6 ways from Sunday say, boy, look how much they got. Look how many indictments they've pulled off. Look at how active they've been. And the fact is that they have yet to indict anyone or make a case against anyone on the basis that there was some, except for Russians in absentia, that anybody involved in the Trump campaign was involved in some untoward matter in relation to Russia that rises to the level of criminality.
Even the Russians that were indicted had nothing to do with, like, collusion, as it were.
Right.
It was just intervention.
Right. So the overselling seems now to be on both sides of the track. And I keep thinking that, you know, I cannot imagine how the level of disappointment and dismay and depression that will affect large numbers of people on the, you know, on, you know, in America, particularly on, you know, liberals and good liberals, nice liberals, well-meaning liberals, if Mueller comes out and says, I got nothing. I got plenty. I did a lot.
But I don't
have anything that connects Donald Trump to Russia. I'm sorry.
Disappointment here is the name of the game. Don't forget, from the start, on both sides, nothing worked. That's to say, if there was any sort of quid pro quo between Moscow and the Trump campaign, Trump is clearly in violation of it because he's been very tough on Russia. If the deep state's goal was to sink Trump before the election, that manifestly failed.
Yeah, it's kind of really funny. I feel like it might actually work the opposite direction, that everyone's going to walk away from this thing with something to be able to declare victory over. But the anti-Trump side is going to say, look at how much Russian collusion that we proved, even though it's not, you didn't touch the president. And there's still plenty of work to be done by the Mueller probe, by the way. But they're, you know, look at all these Russians that this thing got and that how much it exposed the members of the Trump campaign who were cozying up to Russia. And, you know, we've daylight and what have you. And the Trump campaign will declare vindication. So, that, you know, it's sort of like the glass half empty thing.
If I read my liberal friends correctly, you have no idea how they will not be able to declare victory unless this gets to Trump. Or,
well, I know the Trump
or
the pro
Jared.
Trump side.
In other words, there are people you could see it getting to that they would claim are Trump in absentia, Jared, Ivanka,
Jr.
or Donald Jr. If they're gotten, then basically it's Trump who's gotten. And particularly then that would activate the whole question of whether or not he would pardon them. And then you would have the means to by which to, you know, run a serious impeachment claim on the claim of obstruction of justice. So even though he has plenipotentiary pardoning power and all of that. So
even in that scenario, I cannot see a situation in which the side of the ledger who says that this probe is invalid, illegitimate, an exercise of an abuse of state authority and needs to be dissolved yesterday. The people who are saying that will declare victory no matter what, as long as the president himself is not personally implicated. And I can't even see how that, because you can't even indict the president. So how, in what way, what universe would they ever say that Donald Trump was not cleared by this thing? It's a political narrative. It's already baked in.
Good question. So with that, we bring this crushing morosity to a close. For Abe Greenwald and Noah Rothman, I'm John Podhoretz. Keep the candle burning.